The following episode depicts the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It is intended for mature audiences. Parental discretion is advised.
Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled and passed down to us by those who were eyewitnesses to the following events. With this in mind, know that all elements of what you are about to hear have been carefully investigated so that you might know their certainty. You are listening to The Christ.
It was the 18th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. When Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Antipas was tetrarch of Galilee, and during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. It was also the fifth day of preparation for the Feast of the Jews. And the story begins where most believed it would end, at the Praetorium in the Antonia Fortress of Jerusalem, where Pontius Pilate was deliberating the fate of a criminal on trial named Jesus of Nazareth. The Nazarene's crime, as submitted by Jewish leaders of the Sanhedrin, was treason, and it was a crime punishable by death. A large crowd had gathered outside the Praetorium, awaiting Pilate's decision.
Marcus, I beg thee, have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today from a dream.
More than you, I want nothing of this. But whether he righteous or not, I must do the will of the people.
Does not Rome have the ability to bend will? Marcus, please.
Hail! The prisoner has been brought to the pavement.
Marcus, please.
Bend it shall. In whose favor is the question? Lead me. This is he?
It is.
I thought I sent him to Herod.
Yes, and Herod has sent him back.
Of course he did.
If I may, Lord.
Speak.
The crowd is different. The beginning of all things are said to be small.
Yes.
This feels big.
Jesus of Nazareth, I am Marcus Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea. Are you the king of the Jews? I asked, are you the king of the Jews?
Do you ask this of your own accord? Or have you heard this of me from others?
Do I look like a Jew? I have stood before kings. In fact, this very praetorium was the home of Herod the Great and Archelaus. In its hallways echo the power of Rome itself. All that you see is the domain of the Roman Empire.
My kingdom is not of this world.
So you are a king.
It is rightly that you say I am. For this I was born unto this world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.
What is the truth? Your own people and the chief of priests have handed you over to me. Tell me, who are you? And what have you done?
No, Marcus.
I find nothing in this man that deserves death. I order the prisoner chastised. And before he is returned, have him dressed. He claims to be a king. Then he shall look as one.
Ah! Onus! Duo! Tria! Cator!
Pilate ordered the flogging in the hopes that the crowd and its leaders would be appeased. But they were not.
Chastisement is good, Governor, but what do you plan on doing with him afterwards?
I will release him. You have brought this man to me as one who misleads people and is a threat to Rome. Yet I have found no fault in him.
He has made himself a king.
He is a revolutionary.
Well, any thoughts of revolt should be put to an end with his chastisement.
It should. But nothing speaks more eloquently of a failed revolt than the sight of the agitator hanging nakedly on a Roman cross.
You want him crucified? Then you crucify him.
We have brought him to you, Governor, because he has broken not just our law, but yours.
If you do not take care of this, you are no friend to Caesar.
And what of your tradition for the feast? I must release someone.
Perhaps the people would prefer the release of another.
Who do you have in mind?
Barabbas! Rise up, swine. Tartarus calls.
Barabbas was a well-known criminal, zealot and murderer, who had been awaiting trial. The crowd would now have a choice of who would be set free, Barabbas or Jesus of Nazareth.
37! 38! 39! Finite! Is he alive? Time to get dressed, Your Highness.
Pilate's soldiers then led Jesus away to a courtyard where the whole garrison surrounded him, beating him and mocking him.
I baptize thee.
Did not see that one coming, did you, Augustus Jew?
He actually looks like a Jew king would look.
They stripped him of his garment and clothed him in a purple robe, and twisted from a bush a crown of thorns that they pressed into his head.
Now he looks like a king.
Oh, hail, hail, King of the Jews! Centurio, hail!
His fifth hour passed. The prisoner has been dressed. The governor is awaiting.
Hail!
While the crowd waited for Jesus to be brought back before Pilate, the chief priests and the elders used the time to stir them from within.
When it comes time to freeing a prisoner, we don't want Jesus of Nazareth.
Give us Barabbas. Jesus must be crucified.
Pilate then appeared on the pavement and took his place on the judgment seat.
Bread and circuses.
And Jesus was brought forth, wearing the purple robe and crown of thorns.
Behold, your King of the Jews! I am bringing him to you so that you may know I find no fault in him.
Who are you? Where are you from? Have you nothing to say? Do you not hear the severity of these allegations against you? Do you not know I have both the power to crucify you and the power to release you?
Any power that you have has been given to you from above by He who sent me.
Bring out the other prisoner. Behold! I give you Barabbas!
Death to Rome! Get your hands off me, Roman pigs!
I must release one. So which of the two would you like? Killer, thief, enemy of Rome? or this king of the Jews? What then would you have me do with whom you call the King of the Jews? Very well. I am innocent of the blood of this just man.
His blood be on us and on our children!
Release Barabbas! And I deliver to you Jesus of Nazareth to be crucified!
Pilate's soldiers then took Jesus away, and as part of the execution, they stripped him of his robe, scourged him between two pillars, and led him outside the city. Then, bearing his own cross, he would be forced to walk the road of Calvary that led to the hill known as Golgotha, where he would be crucified. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart of man is desperately wicked." And it would be there, on the road to Calvary, that would prove this verse as statement of fact.
Don't you stop, Jew.
Jesus of Nazareth had been no foreigner to wickedness, for wickedness had tried to kill him at birth. Wickedness had tested him in the desert. Wickedness had tried to discredit his miracles. Wickedness had even betrayed him with a kiss. And now wickedness was mocking him and spitting on him. Soon it would pierce him, and before it would be over, wickedness would kill him.
Jesus! Veronica, no! Jesus! Jesus! My Lord!
Daughter of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourself and for your children.
Back! Get back! To your feet, Jew.
Move! Ha!
Atop the hill known as Golgotha, soldiers there made ready the stake where Jesus was to be crucified. It was located between two other criminals who were in the midst of their own crucifixions.
The birds of the Escalon will eat well this afternoon.
We have a third coming.
Put this atop the stake. What's it say?
It says, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews."
King of the Jews?
Yes, but it'll be the shortest reign in history.
Move! The day is darkening.
Indeed, a darkness had been growing since the third hour, and it would continue to thicken.
Bloody day. You will not die this easy, Jew.
You!
Help this Jew off the dirt and on his way, or you will be joining him.
His name was Simon, and he had come from Cyrenaica. And on his back, Roman soldiers laid the cross so as to help bear it for Jesus. Arriving at Golgotha, which means place of the skull, it was now the sixth hour, and darkness had fallen all over the land. Soldiers tried to give Jesus sour wine mingled with gall to drink.
Drink, Jew.
But he refused.
The Jew doesn't like.
Then they nailed him to the cross.
Legs first.
Ah!
I said harder! Up! Good.
And there Jesus hung, crucified.
Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry out in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you.
For in all the world there was no death more excruciating, more contemptible, more horrific than crucifixion. So grisly was the execution, even the Romans refused responsibility for its origins, believing that only a people whose sole purpose was barbarity could have conceived such a torture. So offensive to the senses was the death stench of the scene that only a sparse record of its description remains in ancient sources. An execution by crucifixion included all the vicious torture that death can have and more. Thirst, starvation, nausea, vertigo, fever, dementia, in addition to shame, public torment, mortification, all escalated to the point of unendurable, overwhelming and relentless suffering. Yet, at the apex of all its wickedness, it would stop just short of the point which would give to the sufferer the sweet relief of unconsciousness. The place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city, and many who passed blasphemed him.
There he is, Son of God. Why don't you come down from that cross?
He saved others. Why can't he save himself?
Yet as Jesus hung there, his precious earthly life leaving him, he remained a paragon of mercy.
Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do.
Nearby, soldiers sat down and kept watch over him. As they did, to pass the time, they took his garments and divided them, casting lots for his tunic.
Draw.
This was a fulfillment of David's 22nd Psalm, verse 18. For they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. As a further insult to Jesus, Pilate had placed him to be crucified between two other criminals.
Rotten gods, conceal the joy of death. And you, Jesus of Nazareth, you are supposed to be the Christ, not after the best start, are you? Why don't you save all of us? Use some of the trickery that landed you in this heap. You cannot, because you are no different than them. In fact, you are worse. You are no different than us.
Enough! Have you no fear of God? And under the same condemnation? For we only receive the due punishment of our deeds. But this man, he has done nothing wrong.
Oh, you are as dumb as you are guilty.
Jesus of Nazareth, I am guilty. I am a sinner, and I regret the sins I have committed. But Lord, when you come into the kingdom you speak of, can you remember me?
What is your name?
Dismas.
Dismas, I promise you, on this day, you will be with me in paradise.
Oh, thank you, my lord.
Nearing the ninth hour, the darkness had thickened as Jesus grew closer to death. And many who followed Jesus from Galilee stood at a distance and watched, including his own mother. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome.
Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, lama sabachthani.
What is he saying? Sounds like he's summoning Elijah.
Father! Why have you forsaken me?
They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you.
I thirst.
Give him something to drink.
Drink?
No.
He refuses.
It is finished!
He then gave up his spirit. At that very moment, the earth shook to its core. Rocks were split, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Back on Golgotha, soldiers were in a panic.
Harvey Augustus, what do we do? Harvey Augustus, what are you looking at?
Clearly, this man was the Son of God. Take them down!
Aye, sir. Take them down!
Because it was the preparation day before the Sabbath, the bodies could not remain on their crosses.
What if they're not dead?
The legs! Break them!
But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead.
Make sure!
To verify this, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear.
What is this?
And out flowed blood and water.
He's dead!
Bring him down!
There had been a wealthy follower of Jesus named Joseph of Arimathea. He too was a council member, but he believed in Jesus and the kingdom of God that he had spoken of. For fear of the crowds, he did not attend Jesus' trial, but with great courage he came forward after Jesus' death and asked Pilate if he could take the body to be buried.
Take him.
Joseph of Arimathea's tomb was in a garden not far from the place of crucifixion and had been hewn out of rock. The women of Galilee came to the tomb with spices and fragrant oils, and there they laid the body of Jesus to rest. But there was one last small matter to attend to. It had to do with a proclamation Jesus had made public that had spread across the land. A proclamation so ludicrous on its face, so audacious in its impossibility, and so bold in its certainty, that even those closest to him didn't understand.
Good Governor, we can finally rest easy. However, there is one matter still at hand. Sir, remember while he was alive how the deceiver said, "After 3 days I will rise."
And you're concerned he will?
No. But there are concerns that one of his disciples may come by night and steal the body away, then spread to the people that he has risen.
To put this potential deception to rest, Pilate had the tomb sealed and assigned soldiers to guard it for the following 3 days.
As Jesus himself had said on the cross, it was finished. It was finished for Pilate, who so feared an insurrection from the Jews, he allowed an innocent man to be crucified. It was finished for the high priest and the elders, who finally managed to get rid of the carpenter of Nazareth. And it was finished for those who followed Jesus. His claim of being the long-awaited Messiah shattered. His promise of a new kingdom broken. But as we would also learn from Jesus' crucifixion, what was really finished was a war. A war that had been waged against man from the beginning of time. A war that ended on that cross, not in defeat, but as the climax to a resounding and redemptive victory. It wasn't merely the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies, nor was it just the divine demonstration of grace, goodness, and forgiveness. In the moment of Jesus' death, humankind was freed by the single greatest manifestation of God's love the universe has ever known. For on that cross, Jesus had borne the sins of the whole world. And this we would learn 3 days later, when the world would be turned on its heels, and it would be discovered that the tomb in which his bludgeoned and broken body lay, in a solitary cave, ordered sealed by the governor of Judea, under full-time guard by Roman soldiers, would be empty.
If you want to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, visit thechristpodcast.com. Adapted from the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is The Christ, Episode 1. Starring Tom Pelfrey, Paul Walter Hauser, David Oyelowo, Patricia Heaton, Courtney Hope, and John Rhys Davies as the narrator. Created and written by P.G. Kasheri. Directed by P.G. Kasheri and Mark Ramsey. Produced by Mark Ramsey and Jim Young. Executive produced by Jason Sharp and Carissa Rogers for the Faith Podcast Network, a division of Northwestern Media. Casting by Jillian O'Neill. Produced in association with Casey Wayland and Wayland Productions. Sound design and editing by Gino Jang, John Black, and Casey Wayland. Script supervisors, Macy Larson and John Black. Music selection by Vicky Lucas. Additional audio production by Jordan Fair. Production manager, Tatiana Kelly. Production assistant, Joshua David. Principal recording at 48 Windows in Santa Monica. Engineer, Eric Garcia. Coordinator, Shalin Vontour. Special thanks to Carmen LaBurge, David Guffey, Marcus Peters, Michael Grunwald, Ziv Fisher, Company 3, Brian Anderson, David Armstrong, Insight Studios, Terry Watson, Carl Bliss, and Fred Bellotto. The Christ is an Isaiah 43:10 and Mark Ramsey Media production.